Good morning. Today's Daf and the Dharma is Yud Dalav. We're starting a new parak today, second parak of the Masechta. So the first parak gave us an introduction in terms of how to make an eder. Okay, whether or not you should or shouldn't make an eder. So we learned over the course of the first parak, it's not best practice. Not recommended to make nedarim. Making an eder just takes on more responsibility and creates more iser. And don't do it. And as the Ram pointed out in the very beginning of the Masechta, in other words, when we're talking about nedarim, there are two categories. There's nidre eser and nidre hektesh. So nidre hektesh is when you present a carbon to the base of Mikdash. So you want to go ahead and you want to set aside a carbon, so that's nidre hektesh. That's fine. In other words, fine. It's in fact not only fine, but that's certainly the preferred practice. But but in terms of nidre iser, to create something and make something usher to you, so that's definitely not preferred. That's something which is not recommended. But if you want to do it, so there is a formula in which you can do it. So what's the formula? So the first parak, we discussed the formula of how to make an eder. So we discussed that you can make an eder simply by articulating and making a full sentence and being clear exactly what you want to usher upon yourself. That's easy. And then after that, so then it got a little bit more complicated. So over the course of the first parak, so what did we discuss? We discussed that you can make an eder using what's called a yad. Which basically means a fragment, a partial sentence. But as long as the partial sentence conveys and communicates the basic idea that you want to convey, so then it works. And then within yad, so then we further subdivide into two categories. There's the yad mochiach. There's the yad shein mochiach. Good. That was what we discussed in the first paragraph. A second type of way that one can formulate an eder is what's called a kinui, not using the word that the Torah uses, but to use another type of word, a corrupted word. Instead of saying the word carbon, you say the word konam. So, and many other examples that we saw back on Daf Yud. So, vis-a-vis the kinuyim, so that's another way that you can make an eder. What is a kinui? So that also was a machlokis back in the first parak between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that kinuyim are just simply other languages. And according to Reish Lakish, no, it's manufactured language, invented language. The Chachamim Chazal came up with a language in order so that people wouldn't say the word carbon. Why don't we want people saying the word carbon? So see in the first parak where the Gemara discussed exactly what motivated the Chachamim to manufacture language. Good. That was a second way in which you can make an eder. And the third way you can make an eder is what's called Hadfasa. Hadfasa is basically where I do a comp. I want to say that this bread that's in front of me right now, I don't have bread in front of me, which is why I'm using that as an example. So this bread that's in front of me should be also like a carbon. No, carbon's also to me. So this bread should be like a carbon. So what I do is I make a hadfasa. I do a comp, and through that comp now, so I create iser by comparing this to something which is prohibited to me. Good. So we discussed hadfasa a little bit at the end of the first parak, and we're opening up here the second parak with more of a discussion regarding hadfasa. Okay, there is rules numbers 1, 2, and 3 when it comes to hadfasa. Okay, I made that up. In other words, rules 1, 2, and 3, there really is one rule. But in other words, it's so basic, it's such a fundamental rule. So I'll give it the top three spots. And that is that when you do hadfasa, it has to be hadfasa bedavar hanador and not bedavar ha'asar. Let's explain. Hadfasa bedavar hanador means that the only way that the comp works in order to create an iser is only when I compare it to something which is usher to me via neder. Carbon. Carbon's a perfect example, right? A carbon is something which the animal originally was not usher to me, and then I make it a carbon. Now it becomes usher to me. Now I want to make an eder using hatfasa. I want to compare it. Comparing it to a carbon is perfect, because what I'm doing basically is I'm saying, you see how that carbon became usher to me via neder? So this also is going to be the same thing. But if I try to compare it to something which is not a davar hanader, but rather a davar ha'asar, so I compare this to pork, right? This bread should be to me like pork. That's not an eder. That doesn't create hadfasa, because I'm not comparing it to something which is a davar hanader, but rather I'm comparing it to a davar ha'asar. In a little bit from now, a couple minutes from now, I'm going to show you the Ran, where the Ran effectively says, yeah. In other words, it's a false comparison. Meaning, the bread to me can never become like pork. Why? Because when it comes to pork, that's something which the Torah already prohibits me. In other words, I didn't do anything to create that iser. That iser already was there. And now I want to say the bread is like pork. It just simply is not true. The bread will never be like pork. I can never create the same kind of iser in bread that I can in pork. Okay. So it simply doesn't work. So when you do hadfasa, it has to be bedavar nadar, not bedavar ha'asar. Okay, so we are now opening up the second parak over here, and we're going to see this idea again and again and again. So let's go. The Mishnah starts off. So these are going to be mutter. So chul shel chalach. So in other words, formulations where you said something and it's going to result in no neder. So the entire list of cases over here in the Mishnayos are going to be cases in which you say something, you are attempting to communicate something, but it's going to result in no neder. Number one, chulin shel chalach. You know that food that you eat, the food in your house, delicious. To me, it's going to be chulin. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Meaning, I'm telling you, everybody, that that food is chulin and that doesn't create an eder. What would be the alternative? What would you think otherwise? Why would the Mishnah have to say such a case? Okay. Stay tuned. And by the way, this is something that we already communicated numerous times in the first perek. So it sounds like the first example given here in the Mishnah, the second perek, seems to be totally superfluous. And so hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. So you know this bread that's in front of me right now, it's going to be like a chazer. It's going to be like pork. And kavodas kochavim. It's going to be like kavodas zara. Ka'oros levuvim. It's going to be like hides that are hearted. No easy way to communicate this. Back in the old days, the minhag was that when you're practicing avodah zara, so what you would do is you rip out the heart of the animal before the animal died. Obviously, with the ripping out of the heart, so the more better than good chances that the animal is in fact going to die. It will die anyway. It was a way that they served their avodah zara. And so what they would do is that they obviously, in order to get to the heart, so obviously you had to create a cavity in the chest in order to get to the heart. So they would basically cut out a piece of the chest, including obviously the hides. Okay. So when the hides are sold and you see this gaping hole right there where the heart, right by the chest. So what do you know? What do you now know? You now know that this hide over here was part of an animal that was involved in idolatry. So in other words, the animal in total, including the hide, is what's called takrovis avodah zara. Something that was used for avodah zara. Therefore, it's aser. Aser b'achila, aser b'hana. Well, obviously, aser b'achila wasn't shechted, but aser b'hana. In other words, okay, it's a chefza of iser. And the point of the Mishnah is that if I try to make this bread like oros levuvin, so then it doesn't work. In every one of the cases in the Mishnah, why doesn't it work? Because you're doing hatfasa, bedavar ha'aser, not bedavar hanadar. Kin nevelos, trefa, shkatsim, v'ramasim, like nevela, like trefa, like shkatsim, like ramasim. So in all these cases, it's going to be not going to be a neder, because what you're attempting to do is doing a comp to something which is usher, not through something which is another. And finally, the last case in the Mishnah. I know it's not the last case in the Mishnah, but we're going to break up the Mishnah into parts. And finally, kechalas aron chumaso, right? I want this bread to be like challah. Okay, when you make dough, when you make bread, so you start with the dough, and what you have to do is you have to take a portion of the dough and give it to the kohen. It's called challah. Similarly, when you are harvesting and you are bringing grains into your house, grains, oils, wines, so what you have to do is you have to give a portion to the kohen. It's called truma. We're all familiar. So if I go ahead and articulate and I say I want this bread over here to be like challah or to be like truma, so in all those cases you said nothing. Challah and truma are not considered a davar hanador. Now, in a moment, we're going to try to articulate why that is. Why isn't it considered a davar hanador? It started off as being non-challah, now it becomes challah. It seems like a davar hanador. Hold that thought, because we're going to come back to it momentarily. But anyway, but in all these cases in the Mishnah, there is just one point that the Mishnah is making, and that is that your hatfasa failed. Failed hatfasa. And the reason why is because you compared it to something which is usher, and not through something which is a davar hanador. Okay. A couple points over here to try to explain. Number one, so many cases in the Mishnah over here, meaning the Mishnah is just making one singular point. So why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say, hey, if I try to make a neder and creating a hatfasa through a davar ha'aser, it doesn't work. And the Mishnah goes case after case after case. There are half dozen cases in the Mishnah. Why are there so many cases? So you take a look at the Ran over here. The second Ran, I take it back, the third Ran on the Perek, I'm on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are three runs in. It's not that many. It's like four or five lines into the run. So he writes as follows. I'm reading the run inside. He writes, Kabasa Chazur Kavodz Kochavim Kol Mine Yisuri Ketane. Good. So obviously the Mishnah over here is giving us many categories of Yisurim, but the run organizes, which is what I like. And he writes, Asurim Ba'achila Kabasa Chazir. So first of all, the Mishnah gives us examples of Yisur Achila. Okay, good. Like pork. Good. Number one. Number two. Isurim b'hana k'avodas kochavim. So now, another example would be Isur hana, meaning that's avodah zara. Avodah zara is not only asur b'achila, it's asur b'hana. Good. Then, asurim b'hana she'in lahem betela. Karos levuvim shayu to karovus lavodus kochavim shayu nokvim haor keneged alevein vayu motzin oso kishu chai vechamire ma'avodus kochavim dinihida avodus kochavim misle betala to karovus avodus kochavim meim la betala. And then we move up to the hearted hides. Again, without the explanation, it sounds so strange. But I already gave the explanation. So the hearted hides. So what is that? That's takorvus avodah zarah. We already got done explaining, and that's even more chamor. Why? Because there's no bittul. Bittul over here does not mean nullification in the classic sense of it got mixed up together. Bittul when it comes to avodah zarah is that with certain avodah zarahs, what you could do is that you could just simply be mevatel. In other words, you can negate it. Okay, there's sugyas in Avodah Zarah. Masechta Avodah Zarah talks about who can negate it and how negation is done. But Avodah Zarah can be negated. Almost always. But when it comes to Takrovus Avodah Zarah, there is simply no opportunity for negation when it comes to Takrovus Avodah Zarah. So that means to say it's more chamor. In other words, what the Ron's basically saying is, here we're going up the list. We're going from an Isra Achila to an Isra Hana'a to an Isra Hanava Avodah Zarah that's not subject to Bittul. And Vitana Namishi Surim Beichila Bilva Vishbem Tumas Kinevela Ushitumasim Khamura Bechadash and Kishkatsim Viramasim. Oh, and even within the Yisra Achila, in other words, there too, the Mishnah is giving us multiple examples of things that are Asr Beachila, things that also have it with the Tumma Tahar, I'm sorry, things that have it with the Tumma as well. Okay. So effectively what the Ran is doing is it's basically giving us an organizational chart within the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is not just giving us examples of Isser, but climbing up the ladder, right, in terms of levels of Isser. Okay. Even with this Ron, by the way, we're not saying a bigger Chiddush. In fact, we're saying a smaller Chiddush in the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah effectively is saying is that, you know, if something's Usser, so I can't do Adfasa. And if it's really Usser, so then I can't do Adfasa. Well, the logic would seem to indicate just the opposite. Meaning if I wanted to advance in Chidushim, I would go in the other direction in the Mishnah. In other words, if it's really Aser, meaning Aser Ba'achila, Aser Ba'ana, there's no Bittul, so then I can't do Adfasa. But let's say it's just it's basically Aser. It's basic Aser. Oh, that's a bigger Chiddush. Okay, so I'm not fully understanding in terms of the direction the Mishnah is going, but I get the basic idea. In other words, the Ran over here organizes all the cases within the Mishnah. Okay, so that was point number one that I wanted to draw out from the Mishnah. Just why are there so many cases of Isser in the Mishnah? Good. So we said over the Ran. Now let's go over and try to say over Chala and Truma, that's not considered a Davar Hanadar, meaning of the many examples here in the Mishnah, what is a Davar Aser? So one of them is Chala Trumaso. That's not a Davar Hanadar, but rather it's a Davar Aser. Okay, and again, if you think about it, meaning if I didn't have the Mishnah, I would have guessed wrong. I would have said the Chala and Truma is considered a Davar Hanadar. Consider. In other words, it wasn't Truma, and then by being Mafreshit, I made a Truma. It wasn't Chala, and now by being Mafreshit, I made a Chala. Seems to me like a Davar Hanadar, and the Mishnah is clearly telling us it's not a Davar Hanadar, but rather it's a Davar Aser. Why? Once again, I turn back to the Ran. The Ran writes the following, Kechalas Aaron or Truma Aser, She'afa b'shechal Isra al yidei kriyasheim. Right, the Ran over here, it says exactly what I just presented. Meaning, it's Kriya Shem. I gave it a name. I gave it a status. Isn't that a Davar Hanadar? So no, it's not. Lo Mikri Davar Hanadar. Kamo Shekasaf Ti Lamala. Sha'afa Pishu Hu Aser. Lazeh Mutu Lazeh. Lo Machmas Nidra Hu. Sha'arei Ki Yifrishim. Lo Piresh. Ela Vadai Maida Asir Lazar. Machmas Yisru Hu. Derama Rechman Alayhu. So the Ran points out, you can't call something a Davar Hanadar because here's what didn't happen. It wasn't mutter to everybody and then became aser to everybody. Meaning, consider what happens when you're mafrish chala. When you're mafrish chala, so what happens is that it aser to some people, but it's mutter to others. In other words, otherwise known as kohanim. A davar hanador has to be something which is mutter to everybody and then becomes aser to everybody. And that's not true by truman, that's not true by chala. Truman chala do not become mutter to everybody, nor usher to everybody. In other words, the community is divided, understandably, Kohanim and not Kohanim. So that's the Ran's understanding and explanation of why it's not considered, doesn't qualify as a Davar Hanador. There are other pshatim to say, there's a Tosos back on Daf Yud Beis, which is fodder for a lot of discussion. But anyway, but we're just going to say it like the Ran for today. Good. So what do we have right now? A basic rule in the Mishnah, multiple examples in the Mishnah to create hatfasa, to make a neder. So you have to compare it to something which is a davar neder, not a davar ha'asar. And finally, ha'omer lishto hare at alayki ima. Okay, so you and your wife Rachmanis are not having shalom bayis. In fact, just the opposite. You're fighting, and you say that you're going to be like ki'ima. You're going to be like my mother, or alternatively, it could be your mother. In other words, you're going to compare it to a davar ha'aser. Okay, either my mother or your mother is a davar ha'aser, and you're doing a hatfasa, and you're comparing her to that. Okay, what we're not doing over here is that this is not a discussion in terms of shalom bayis and things that you shouldn't say in a marriage. Although it could qualify for that as well, but that's not what we're discussing over here. We are discussing it from a strictly legal standpoint of, did you make hatfasa by comparing her to a davar ha'aser? Now we all know the answer at this point in the Mishnah, meaning right. We are schooled in the arts of hatfasa at this point in time. We know what the answer of the Mishnah is going to be. It's going to be, it doesn't work. Okay, now, and watch what happens now in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, okay, and what you're going to now do is that you're going to have to create a Pesach. And you're going to create a Pesach mimakam achir in terms of how you're going to extricate yourself from this neder, is that you're going to go to another place, meaning that there will be a charata, there will be, let's say a little bit clearer. You're going to have to go to a chacham. They're going to have to explain to the chacham why it is that you regretted making the neder, and he's going to create a Pesach. Otherwise stated, there's a chalos neder. The neder is going to take effect. Now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, what just happened over here? Meaning, after the Mishnah gave us case after case where I do atfasa through a davar ha'aser, it doesn't work. it doesn't have any effect whatsoever. And then the Mishnah gives an example where you try to make your wife aser to you via neder. You compare it to either your mother, my mother, doesn't matter which one. And the Mishnah says, okay, now we have to go to a chacham. What? In other words, there shouldn't be any chalos neder whatsoever. You compared it to something which is a davar ha'aser, not a davar ha'nader. Why does the neder have any effect whatsoever? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. It's an obvious question, which the Gemara is going to ask. Taima da Amar Chulin. So we start with the Gemara, and the Gemara over here opens up with a really simple question, and that is that the opening case of our Mishnah, Eilu Mutarin. So this is going to be Mutar. Now, after the first example of the Mishnah, Chulin Shal Chalach, after that, all the cases are good. Meaning, the Mishnah wants to teach us that hatfasa through a davar ha'aser doesn't work. Good. But the first case of the Mishnah, however, I'm calling your food chulin. Okay, good. Mazel tov. And it's not a neder. Of course it's not a neder. You didn't say anything. All you said is that your food to me is going to be like chulin. Okay. Which you're allowed to eat. And the Mishnah there is telling us, yeah, that's not a neder. Okay. What is exactly the Mishnah telling us? Time Adamer Chulin Shochalach Amar Lachulin Shochalach Mashma Lo Chulin Lehave Ella Carbon. Okay, so the Gemara starts off right away with a suggestion. Maybe the Mishnah is coming to tell me that is Chulin as opposed to saying Lachulin, right? A point which we hammered in the first parak numerous times, and that is that if I stick a lamed in front of it and I put a patach under the lamed and I say Lachulin, Lachulin is a contraction of Lo Chulin. You know, your food to me is not Chulin. Okay, now. Here we go, discussion we had multiple times in the first parak, and what do? So I say, I get it. In other words, implication. Implication is it's not chulin, it's there for carbon, and therefore it's going to be aser. Okay, good. And do we do implication? So at this point in time, we all know, we just went through the first parak of Nedarim, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so mani masisini Rabbi Meir ha'lesle mechla lavata shomehain. So it can't be Rav Meir because Rav Meir doesn't allow for implication. Implication does not create status according to Rav Meir. Ve'ela Rav Yehuda. So okay, fine. So our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, even if all that's true, the whole point of the Mishnah to say Chulin is to compare and contrast it to Chulin versus La Chulin. And our Mishnah is going like Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? We just finished the parak that already established this idea. That if I do in fact subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, there's going to be a difference between saying chulin versus la chulin. So the Gemara says, "Vela Rabbi Yehuda, hainu reisha." Okay, so we already did that in the first parak, and now we're in a new parak in the Masechta. And what are you doing now? You're rehashing what we already learned in the first parak. wouldn't be the end of the world, meaning it just simply be, right, be chazara. But still, in other words, the Gemara says that the Mishnayos are super careful about giving us new information all the time. It can't be. So I did diktani kebasar chazuka, vos kochavim, lahachi ketani chulin. So the Gemara says, okay, so what you could say is it's a stylistic. Meaning, you're right. For the mission to just go ahead and to repeat information that we already knew. So there was no need for it, but maybe it just comes in stylistically. Look, we're going to talk about other statements that are going to be non-Nedarim statement. Okay, so we're going to add this one as well. Okay, it doesn't seem like an exciting answer, but that's the answer number one. And Ravina says, maybe no. Maybe here's what we could do. We could read the Mishnah as the following. You know what the Mishnah has? It has a header. So there are many Mishnahs throughout Shas that have headers. Okay, a header in a Mishnah is something that we're totally used to. And maybe when reading the first Mishnah, the second paragraph of Nedarim, so really what we're looking at is we're looking at a header. Here's how to read it, says Ravina. V'hachik tani, v'elo matarim ki chulin. Kebasar chazir, kavos kochavim. So these are all examples as if you were to say chulin. It's a header. Good. And again, many Mishnahs have headers, so maybe our Mishnah also has a header as well. So the Gemara says, "V'ilo tana chulin." So have amina by sheila. So if we didn't have the header, what would I have thought? I would have thought that maybe in all these cases in the Mishnah, so the hadfasa didn't work. But you know what? It's pretty close to a neder. Meaning, look, the only subtle difference between all the cases of our Mishnah and a classic neder is going to be, you know, you did a hatfasa, you did a comp, but you did a comp with a davar aser, not a davar anador. I might have thought that in all the cases in the Mishnah, maybe you still need to go to a chacham and extricate yourself from the neder midrabanan. That's what I would have thought. So the Gemara says, really, I would have thought that? I wouldn't have thought that. The Gemara says, I wouldn't have had a havamina. Even if I didn't have the header in the Mishnah, I never would have thought that. Why? Because I'm the diktani sefer amar li ishta hare ad ki ima. So poschen lo pesach memakam acher mechlal dereisha lo bai she'ela. Because, did you read the Mishnah? We just did. In the Mishnah we had case after case after case, and then the final case of the Mishnah, where a man turns to his wife and says that you're going to be like your mother, or you're going to be to me like my mother. In other words, a hadfasa, a yidei davar ha'asr. And in that case in the Mishnah, what do we say? You have to go to a chacham. Which means that in all the previous cases in the Mishnah, you don't have to go to a chacham. So even without the header of our Mishnah, we would have already known that hatfasa ayidei davar ha'aser doesn't create any Pesach, doesn't need any Pesach altogether. You don't have to go to a chacham. And only in the last case, which we haven't explained why, but we will, but only in the last case in that Mishnah do we have to, do you have to seek a chacham. Yeah. Correct.
But can you make yourself create a
raya? You can create a neder, but in other words, via hatfasa, no. In other words, via hatfasa, where you're comparing it to a davar aser, doesn't work. If you don't want to use a hatfasa, if you just want to just articulate the neder, so you can. But then we go back to what we learned back in Ksuvos, meaning she's making a nedarim, he's making a nedarim. It's not good. In other words, it's not a functional marriage. But does it take effect? Yes.
But breaking a neder doesn't actually.
Correct. But over here, our Mishnah has one singular point, which is trying to compare her to something which is a davar aser simply doesn't take effect. That's the only point that our Mishnah is making. So, ela machvar techulin mimela naspa. So the Gemara says, okay. So Ravina's answer that our Mishnah is really providing a header. So the Gemara says, look, when all said and done, I'm not going to get excited by that answer. I don't really need a header in our Mishnah. So Gemara says, okay, so go back to the first suggestion, which also is not particularly exciting, but kidei naspa, meaning it's a stylistic issue. The Mishnah is giving us example after example of things that don't work as a neder. Oh, by the way, here's another one as well. I know we already explained this back in the first parak, but no, we'll say it again. Kidei naspa. Okay. Minahani mili. Okay, here we go. Today's daf yadalid, so it gives us a marmakam, meaning how do I know that in order to do hatfasa properly, correctly, so what you have to do is you have to compare it to a davar anador, not to a davar aser. Where does it come from? Minahani mili. So as is the case throughout the Gemara, so the Gemara is going to cite a pasuk and a drasha, meaning the Gemara itself is not going to give us svara. In a moment, we're going to cite the Ran. So minahani mili amakra ishki yador neder la Hashem, ashi yador bedavar anador. Okay, the lashon of the pasuk, ish ki yidur neder la Hashem. The double language. Ki yidur neder. You make a neder, ki yidur neder. And what is it going to be like? Something which is already a neder. So ash yidur b'davar hanadur. So what you need over here is, you need a comp to a davar hanadur. Good. So it's a drasha. So ihach, before we get to the next point of the Gemara. So the lesser iser mitbayelei. No, let's read the Gemara, and then I'll do the run. So ihachi afilo b'davar asur nami dehaksev lasor isar al nafsho. So the Gemara says double lashon. So the Gemara says okay, just read on in the pasuk. The pasuk goes on to say laesor isar al nafsho to create nisr. But again, the double lashon of laesor isar. So if Lindor Nedor is coming to tell me that a comp works when I compare it to a davar nador. Okay, so now I'm reading just the second half of the pasuk. Lesser iser, why wouldn't it come to teach me that if I do a comp to something which is aser, it also creates a neder? So the Gemara says, no, lesser iser mi bayi lelecha detanya. Second half of the pasuk is coming to teach me a different halacha, halacha that we already learned together. Notably, ezo iser amor betar v'chulei. So remember we did this just a couple of days ago in the daf. And what you do is you make a declaration and you say that that food today should be aser, like the day in which Gedaliah ben Achikam died, or like the day in which my father died, right? And Gemara is a little bit complicated, but basically what you're doing is you're comparing it to something which is aser, but aser just to you and not to other people. And is that going to be considered a davar hanadur? And we learned earlier, yes, it is. Meaning that you can create such a neder, even though it's not a universal universal iser, it's only a personal iser, but still, it works nonetheless. That's what Lasor Iser is coming to teach me, and it's not teaching me anything regarding Hatfasa. Okay, good. So fine. So look at the rhyme over here. Lasor Iser mitbay lelechetatanya ezu iser, klomer. Vekevan, the rhyme, I'm sorry, if you want to follow together with me, Yudal Amud Aleph, the rhyme is a little bit past the midway point of the Amud. So he writes, the Dibra Maschol Lesser Iser Mitbailech Tatanya Ezu Iser Vechulei Klomer. I'm reading the run. The Kevin Devshal Ukme Lahach Drasha Lahachim Ukmas Lamishum Desvarahu the Mafis Bedavar Asolochayel. So the run points out over here. There's a svara as well. Again, the Gemara doesn't give us a svara, but the run says, but it is mistaber. It's logical. It's reasonable. Why? Debishlama Bedavar Another Matzilat Fusei Velamar Kikar Zalai Beneder. Kikarbon, vikarbon, shenes aide neder. Avaki mafis bedavar aser lo klom kamar, de hechalema, kikar zel like a baser chazer. Lo efsher, de baser chazer aser rachmana, vahu lo asre. Okay, I know I said this earlier today, but the Ron is saying it inside. I read it inside, and that is that when you're doing a comp to a davar hanador, so do you know why it works? Because it's a fair comparison. It's a correct comparison. Where I'm comparing this loaf of bread to a carbon. Oh, how did the carbon become aser to me? Also via neder, right? Nidre hektesh. So now I want to go ahead and make this bread aser to me. So now I could use the same mechanism of basically manufacturing iser because I compared it to a carbon. Where we're there, something which was mutter, and then we created iser. Masha enkin, when I compare it to a davar aser, it's a false comparison. Because what am I saying? This bread should be like chazer. The bread should be like nevela. Nevela was already aser, the Torah asered it. And now I'm saying that this should be like that? It's a false comparison. I can't create something comparable to that which the Torah prohibited. Kadosh Baruch Hu prohibited nevela. Kadosh Baruch Hu prohibited chazer. And now I want to say that this should be like that? Right? To put it simply, I'm not God. I can't create that kind of iser. Okay, so it's a false comparison, so therefore it doesn't work. So in other words, aside from the fact that the Gemara gives us a drasha, the Ron gives us a svara, which quite frankly, very mistaber. In other words, it's a really reasonable way to understand why it is that hadfasa only works by davar nadur, not by davar aser. Okay, ha'omer lisha harei at alai ki'ima. In the Gemara, daf yudal amud aleph, all these dafim are short, it's where two-thirds of the way down, we're at the two dots, just read the header, uriminu harei at alai kibsar ima. So a man tries to make his wife usher to him, comparing her to those things, to things that are usher. Like, for example, his very own mother. Like, for example, his very own sister. Like Arla or like Klai Akarim. Okay, none of these are flattering. But again, that's not the point of any of the above. The point is that what he did is he compared his wife to a davar ha'aser, okay, either people or objects. It doesn't matter. It's not going to have any effect. Lo amar klum. He said nothing. So basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance. How can our Mishnah tell us that when a husband tries to make a neder, that he's not going to get hanah from his wife, and his wife is going to be usher to him via neder, comparing her to, let's say, for example, Ima, his own mother. So what our Mishnah tell us? You have to go to a chacham. Why? In other words, this is now it should be a non-neder. We already articulated this question back in the Mishnah, but here the Gemara is effectively saying, not only is the question strong, I have a brisa that just shared with us, lo amar klum. He said nothing. So how do you understand the Mishnah versus the brisa? So Rava says, okay, so I'll give you the very basic answer, and that is, I'm sorry, before Rava. I jumped ahead. Amar Abaye, so we'll start off with Abaye's answer, and that is, but however, tzarech she'ela midarabana. So Abaye's answer is that look, midaraisa, you said nothing. In other words, you were matfis bedavar aser, and therefore midaraisa, you said nothing. However, over here, the chachamim demanded, they required that you go to a chacham. So, and why? In other words, why did the chachamim mandate that over here? So presumably the answer is because the chachamim wanted husband and wife to not get involved in any of these kinds of statements. In other words, we're now in the area of shalom bayis. And what the chachamim wanted is that basically you need to be careful that what you say. I may ikar hadin, what you said is ineffective. It's not a neder, but at the same time you did say something. You tried to create iser between you and your wife. And so, you know what? Just as an object lesson, we're going to go, the chachamim are going to require you to go to a chacham and to extricate yourself from a neder, even though it's not a neder. Because basically, they don't want husband and wife to converse like that to one another. Okay. That's one explanation. Rava Amar. So, haba tam chacham, haba amar. So, Rava gives a different distinction, and that is the distinction between tam chacham and amar. Meaning, when it comes to a tam chacham, so he can understand. In other words, the entire discussion we had this morning is a somewhat subtle discussion, right? I'm doing a hatfasa, but I'm doing it to a davar nader versus a davar ha'aser. Good. So, everyone listening right now who's listening to Shir, so good. So, you understand what we're talking about, but there's subtleties. And so over here, Amar, if you're talking to somebody who's not in the base measure, not learning, so over here, he understands these subtleties and these distinctions. He's not going to understand the subtleties and the distinctions. And so therefore, when it comes to an Amar, meaning when he makes a statement like that, so we're basically going to turn him around and say, okay, you have to go to a Chacham. Why? Because he's not going to understand the intricacies of a Davar HaNadar, a Davar HaAser. Fine. But when you have a Tam Chacham and makes a statement like that, again, the Tam Chacham shouldn't have said that to begin with. He shouldn't in other words, the Tam Chacham shouldn't be making nedarim, like, period. Like, in other words, step one, number one, right? Tam Chacham will know the Pasuk in Kohelis. We quoted it earlier in the Masechta. And that is, the best practice is not to make a neder at all. But still, the Tam Chacham will understand the difference between Hatfasa B'davar Nader versus Hatfasa B'davar Aser. Good. So according to Rava, that's the distinction we're going to make between Mishnah and Braisa. So yeah, in other words, right. 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 So in other words, right. Within Rava's answer, is he still going to make a distinction between this case and all the other cases in the Mishnah? And not clear. Not clear. Meaning Rava's only answering up the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and the stira only exists when it comes to, right, mother. Okay. So I'm not sure. Right? So the Hatanya, the Gemara says, and on top of that, the Gemara says, look, I'll show you that this distinction is true, meaning that there's a difference between an Amaretz and Tam Chacham regarding certain subtleties. A no de Batorah person makes a ned de Batorah. Okay, I'm going to explain that a lot better in just a moment. So lo amar klum, so he said nothing. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'tzarech she'el l'chacham. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, you still have to go to a Chacham. So the Amar of Nachman v'tam chacham and tzarech sheila. Not if you're tam chacham. So if you're tam chacham, you don't need sheila. Meaning this distinction that we just made that there's a difference between a tam chacham and a ma'aretz. So we see it when a person's no de b'tara. Again, I haven't explained what that is yet. I will in just a moment. But anyway, the only point that we're just highlighting over here, yes, there's a difference between a Tamei Chacham and Am Haaretz. Tamei Chacham understands subtleties. Am Haaretz does not. And so therefore, when the Am Haaretz makes a statement which could be understood, it could be construed as a neder, even though technically it's not. So we're going to send him to a Chacham to extricate himself from that neder. Okay, Tanya. Okay, what is this idea of no debatara? So we turn the page, and the rest of today's daf, not much left to go, is going to be discussing this very case of no debatara. Ha no debatara. Okay, so a person makes a ned debatara. Okay, ned debatara means the following, according to the Ran. I'm presenting it like the Ran, and that is that he's trying to make a shvua. Now, I know, by the way, in a lot of this masechta, sorry, not a lot, some of this masechta gets a little bit confusing, because what we do is that we mix up our nedarim and our shvuas. Right? In other words, like we said, in the beginning of the Masechta, there's something called a Neder, there's something called a Shvua. They're not the same. Shvua is going on an action, and a Neder is going on an object. That's a very basic distinction to be made. However, in terms of the language that's used, the Ran already said it earlier in the Masechta. He says it again in today's Daf. And that is sometimes when a person is trying to make a Shvua, he'll use the language of Neder, and that's okay. Okay? In other words, so you can use neder even when you're describing a shvua and vice versa. Fine. So a neder b'tora, according to the Ran, is talking about somebody who is attempting to make a shvua. Now, if you're making a shvua, so what do you have to do? You have to say it b'shem Hashem. You have to use Hashem's name when you want to make a shvua. Again, best practice is not to make a shvua. Okay, good. I logged that in. We all understand. But now that you did, in order to make a successful shvua, you have to use shem Hashem. So you're holding a Sefer Torah and saying, I'm going to make a Shvua with this. Now, when you say this, what are you referring to? In other words, the Sefer Torah is made up of many parts. It's got a cloth. It's got ksav on the cloth. Some of the ksav is Shem Hashem. Much of the cloth is Shem Hashem. What was he describing when he said, I'm going to make a Shvua with this? Oh, okay, fine. So I know the B'Torah lo amar klum. Ba'meshekasa ba'dvarv kayamim. Ba'uva'meshekasa ba'dvarv kayamim. So the Bryce over here tells us the following, that if you know the Betara, so you're trying to make a Shvua, again, the only successful Shvua is you use Shem Hashem, but if I just simply say, with it, meaning I'm pointing, now if you'll notice, by the way, I'm going a little bit back and forth, are you holding the Sefer Torah, are you not holding the Sefer Torah? Hold that thought, because in a moment, we're going to try to clarify that. But regardless, so, in other words, I'm holding the Sefer Torah, I'm pointing to the Sefer Torah, and I say, and I'm going to make a Shvua with this? So you haven't said anything. However, b'mashikasov ba? So in other words, I'm pointing to the words. And of the many words in the Torah, so many of them are Shem Hashem. Ba'u v'mashikasov ba? It and that which is in it. So that also will be successful Shvua. Okay. So there are three cases over here in the Braisa. And again now, We now understand, going with the bottom of the previous amud, meaning that when somebody says that I'm making a shvua with this, and in other words, he's again holding or in front of a Sefer Torah, but he said simply the words ba, so what he's referencing is not that which is written in the Torah, but rather just simply the parchment of the Sefer Torah, and therefore it's an ineffective shvua. But again, that's a subtlety, and so a Tamei Chacham will understand that the Am Haaretz less so. Good. That's what we just got done discussing on the bottom of the previous Amud. And now, just for the rest of today's daf, just a little bit of clarification. Kitani. So if you'll notice now, how many cases were there in this Braisa that we just quoted? Three cases. I said I'm going to make a neder batora. Doesn't work. B'meshekasev ba, that works. Ba uv'meshekasev ba, that also works. So there really are three cases in the Braisa. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Tani ba meshekasa ba dvarv kayamim, ba va meshekasa ba tzarech lemeimar. Once I know case number two, then for sure case number three should work. Meaning once I say ba meshekasa ba, that works. And then when I say ba uva meshekasa ba, that for sure should work. So over here in the Braisa's illustration of making a distinction between the cloth and the ksav, so all I needed was two of those three cases in the Mishnah. It's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Why did the Braisa give me three cases? So Amar of Nachman Lokasha, Hadamachta, Araisa Arav, Hadanakala Biyade. So Rav Nachman says, I'll tell you why there's a case number two and there's a case number three, because there are two different cases. One in which you're holding the Sefer Torah and the other one where the Sefer Torah is on the ground. Now the Gemara does say the Sefer Torah is on the ground. Okay, don't read it too literally. It just simply means you're not holding it. Okay, Sefer Torah does not belong on the ground. That we all know. So machtal ara. So if it's on the ground, daita agvile. So now what I'm saying is that I'm going to make a shvua, right? Ba. So ba over there means it's going on the object itself, meaning the gvil, the parchment. However, nakala biyade. But if I'm holding the Sefer Torah, so now I want to make a shvua ba. So contextually now it makes more sense that what am I modifying? Right? It's ambiguous, obviously. But in other words, but I'm holding it now. So ba adaita alaz kar shaba. So presumably I'm talking about the shemos Hashem that are there. And therefore it's going to be successful shua. Ebay Sim, the Gemara says, I'll give you a second response, and that is machzal aretz. Both cases are talking about where the Sefer Torah is on the ground, and Vahakamashman, Dafagav the Machtal Ara, Kevindamar Bemashikas of Bamahani. Okay, and over here the Brisa could just simply be stylistic. Meaning in case number two, the Sefer Torah is on the ground. It's on the ground, so what's the Chiddush is that when I say B'masha Kasav Ba, I mean the letters. Okay, good. And the third case over there in the Brisa, which is redundant but simply, Zu V'Ein Tzarech Lomar Zu. Good. Again, you're making a Shvua over here. So all you need... There's just a requirement to say B'Shem Hashem. And
if he's doing it on the Torah, he doesn't have to...
He just needs Shem Hashem. I mean, the Shavuot could have been just... It's easily achieved by actually saying Shem Hashem. But in other words, but instead of saying Shem Hashem, he just simply says, you know, I'm making a Shavuot, right? Once we're here, on that which is, on this. So on this is could just simply be a reference to the Klaf. And it's not successful shua, but Masha Kasavah, that works. And Ibai Sema Mitzia Sanami Denakal Abiyade. So the Gemara says, alternatively, I could say that in both cases, 2 and 3, so he's holding the Sefer Torah in his hands. And Vahakamash Mlan, Kevin Denakal Abiyade, Afagav Delo Amar Elaba, Kaman Da Amar Bemasha Kasavah. And even though he said the word ba, but ba means Bemasha Kasavah. Okay, another way to understand why. What we're doing with cases numbers 2 and 3 in the Braisa. Okay. Anyway, what comes out is the following. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. We're going to be stopping over here tomorrow. We're going to be starting with the new Mishnah. Okay, we opened up today the second parak of the Masechta. And what did we learn today? Really, in terms of summary, so we could summarize, it's really easy. That you do hatfasi, you make a comp in order to create a neder, and I compare it to a davar ha'asur, and not a davar ha'nador, it simply doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not a legitimate comparison. The Mishnayos gave me over a half dozen examples of what is a davar asur and not a davar hanador. Why did the Mishnah give me so many examples? Like why we cited the Ran in the beginning of the Perek. We gave a svar in terms of categorically they're all moving up in Isurim. But regardless, the Mishnah gave us many examples of a davar asur versus a davar hanador. Okay, a couple things. Number one, in the Mishnah itself, so the Mishnah says that what's an example of davar asur? Chulin. Sorry, I didn't. I did say chulin, but I meant chala and truma. So those are examples of davar aser. Why is that a davar aser? So I quoted the Ran in today's daf, which is also the Ran back on daf yud base as well. Chala is not mutter to, wasn't mutter to everybody, and even after the neder, does not become aser to everybody. So it's not a good example of a davar hanadar. Okay. That's number one. Number two, is that the Gemara's discussion the first discussion of the Gemara was, what's with the first example in the Mishnah? Right? Your food to me is going to be chulin. Okay, that's not a neder. Yesha koach. I mean, we knew that already. And if the whole point of the Mishnah is to tell me there's a distinction between chulin versus la chulin, knew that as well. So good. So the Gemara's preferred answer is that kedei naspa. You're right. That first example of the Mishnah wasn't necessary, but knew it came along for the ride. And then, on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, Yudal Amud Aleph, so what do? We gave a source. How do I know Hatfasa has to be done by Davar Anador? We have a Drasha, and I quoted the Ran today, who also gave a Svara as well. Very mistaber Ran in terms of why Davar Anador, not Davar Ha'asar. Good. And then, the last case of the Mishnah, where if a person compares his mother, his wife to either his mother, his sister, regardless, anything which is Asar, so he has got to go to a Chacham in order to extricate himself from that. Why in the world would he need to do that? In the first half dozen cases of the Mishnah, Hatfasa Yidei Davar Asur simply doesn't work. And then the Mishnah confuses us because it says that when you compare your wife to a Davar Asur, that's going to take effect and that's going to work. So what we learned together is that that's Midder Rabbanan. That's a Dinder Rabbanan. either because the Chachamim don't want husband and wife to talk to each other in that way, and so therefore they have them run to the Chacham, that's a baye. And Rava says, in other words, we're going to make a distinction between the Amar Arts and the Tama Chacham. A Tama Chacham understands subtleties like a Dover another versus Dover Aser, Amar Arts less so, and so therefore the Amar Arts is going to be told to go to a Chacham, because he's not going to understand these subtle differences. This distinction of Rava, it plays out elsewhere. Where else do we see it play out? A person tries to make a shvua with the words of the Torah. In other words, you have to make a shvua, you have to use Shem Hashem, and you're making a shvua be mashakasah ba. So we learned in the Braisa that if he says ba, meaning not the shemos, but rather the gvil, the klaf, he didn't say anything. And meanwhile, on the bottom of Yudal Amud Aleph, it depends. If you're Tam Chacham and you say Yeshua Shabba, you don't have to go. You don't have to go and ask to be released from such a shvua. On the other hand, a Nam Aretz, he does have to be released. So a distinction to be made between Tam Chacham and Nam Aretz. And then on the Amud Beis, we just talked a little bit more about this case about making a shvua. Either you're making the shvua ba with a Sefer Torah versus b'mashakasav ba. Ba doesn't work. Why? Because you're not referencing Shem Hashem. B'mashakasav ba, that does work, because you're referencing Shem Hashem. And then the detail over there on the Amud Beis is the Braisa gave us three cases. Why did the Braisa give us three cases? It could have articulated this point with two cases, and the Gemara gives the answers.